Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Monarch Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday. It is the 18th of February, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Howdy do, buckaroos. I'm your host. Oh, it's me. Hi. Hi. Happy Thursday.
All right. So it's going to be that show today, everybody.
Hi.
Buckle up, because here we go. Charlotte, you have some interesting updates for us on, it seems cheap to call it an epic battle, but Apple and...
I see what you did there.
See? But Apple and Epic Games have been... I think we can upgrade their relationship status from it's complicated to no longer speaking.
We're way past it's complicated.
Well, the last time we talked about it on the show, I think it may have just still been it's complicated.
Yeah, no, we're way past that. Epic has now filed a complaint against Apple with the EU this time. It's on top of ones in the US and Australia. It's calling on the UN to intervene. It's the same story. Fortnite, as we know, was booted off the App Store because they tried to find a way around some of the App Store rules. Epic Games did. That's the accusations from Apple. There was a whole big thing. And now Epic has, as I say, complained to both Australia and the US and has added the EU to its arsenal of complaints. Just to go through what they actually said, Apple should not use control of the hardware to force developers or consumers to use other Apple services by blocking all competition. That was what the Epic Games CEO Tim Sweeney said. He also said Apple should not have any right to block or tax a transaction through other payment services. He's not happy.
That sounds about as directly unhappy as most CEOs ever are.
Well,
I said generally.
Stand by, Kelly.
Okay.
Because Apple, as we know, is a fairly, how can we put this? it's an outgoing company, but it's very in control. It's very often understated, apart from, you know, when it's trying to sell its products. It tends to try and play pretty, the expression we'd use in the UK is with a straight bat politically, in the broadest terms. If you will give me the 10, 20 seconds it will take, I'm going to read you the full Apple statement.
All right.
Explain that they sent through to me to explain how angry it appears Apple are. This is what the statement I got from an Apple spokesperson. For 12 years, the App Store has helped developers turn their brightest ideas into apps that change the world. Our priorities have always been to provide customers with a safe and trusted place to download software and to apply the rules equally to all developers. Epic has been one of the most successful developers on the App Store, growing into a multi-billion dollar business that reaches millions of iOS customers around the world, including in the EU. In ways a judge has described as deceptive and clandestine, Epic enabled a feature in its app which was not reviewed or approved by Apple, and they did so without the express intent of violating the App Store guidelines that apply to equally to every developer and protect customers. Ready for the kicker? Their reckless behavior made pawns of customers, and we look forward to making this clear to the European Commission.
Ooh.
This is not typically Apple corporate language.
Not even
very,
a little.
This is very, very angry Apple.
Oh, yes.
Epic enabled a feature in its app which was not reviewed or approved by Apple, and they did so with the express intent of violating the App Store guidelines. Their reckless behavior made pawns of customers. I'm repeating that just so it doesn't get lost quite how severe the accusations from Apple are, quite how angry they are, and quite how much they think they are in the right in this. Now, it's not for us on this show to judge that. We can have our opinions, but clearly this is going to be played out in the courts and so on.
Sure.
And with regulators. But you can sense the tone. The tone from Epic has always been, you know, we remember that Fortnite 1984 video that they did a while back, which was is still very clever. But
It was very clever, and it also went out about 30 seconds after Apple made good on their declaration of intent to pull them from the App Store. It wasn't a threat because Apple said, if you do this, this is what will happen. So it wasn't a threat. Apple said, this is what's up. And if you do this, we're going to kick you out of the App Store. And Epic said, well, I guess we're kicked out of the App Store then, you know, and Apple said, well,
post video,
if you say so. Yeah. And then immediately the video went up, which is the thing that I thought was sort of notable about it.
1984, wasn't it called, or something?
Yep.
And we thought that was kind of the high watermark of the scrap and the tensions. I think the language I've just outlined from both companies shows how wrong we were about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was genuinely taken aback when I saw the full Apple statement, because this is not how this company, we're used to this company speaking about anyone, let alone another company that it has previously done extensive business with.
Right. And they point that out too. They're one of the most successful publishers in the App Store. So
yeah. Now, look, as I say, it's not for us to make judgments. I'm trying to kind of be fair across the board on this. And Epic's perhaps not unreasonable answer would be, yes, but you shouldn't have that much control over the success or otherwise of our business.
Okay.
Just because we were, I'm sure that is one part of what Epic would argue, right? Just because we were successful on the App Store doesn't mean we should be in your control and in your gift for the future. But there is equally a bit of hypocrisy from Epic. I think Apple was pointing out, and I think there's an argument there, which is kind of, a lot of the success, a lot of the sales, a lot of your users come to you through us. Mm-hmm. And now that you are successful, you're using the power that you've got from being on our platform to try and leave our platform.
Yeah.
I think that's paraphrasing very crudely, but I think that is how both companies would put their position. Now, as I say, judges and regulators will decide who is right. But this not only has a long way to run, but is clearly now escalating. If you're asking three major market rapidly, absolutely. As rapidly as anything to do with regulation ever does.
Well, true. But the battle has escalated rapidly, I should say. That's the piece of it that is sort of interesting. So, yeah.
It's hugely interesting. And obviously, Epic other major app, we've had Facebook making not dissimilar complaints around privacy provisions in iOS. You know, there's some of these big players are trying to take swings at Apple now. Mm-hmm. And the fallout from those fights will clearly have a dramatic effect on the future of the iOS ecosystem. I don't think I'm being particularly overly dramatic there. If regulators across the world decide that Apple cannot tell everyone that payments has to go through its payment system and you have to only be able to download stuff from the App Store, which is the current situation, obviously that has a profound effect on how iOS works.
Right.
No, we have no idea how it's going to play out. I wouldn't even dare to guess what the end result is going to be. But
I have no idea myself. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see. Yeah.
And equally, if a regulator goes, no, you wanted to play with Apple, it's their house, their toys, you keep their rules, then that will also have, very serious consequences for the iOS ecosystem, in the sense that Apple will say, well, told you so, stick to our rules or leave. So it's a really big case, this. And as you say, it is escalating at quite a pace.
Right. And even, corporation versus corporation, right? Like, even that doesn't always move very quickly. And it feels to me like this is one that's gone very quickly. And maybe it's just because a lot of times Apple cases, like whenever Apple goes up against somebody, whether another company, whether it's in court, or it's just sort of, a war of words that continues to go around and round. It seems like this one has gone very quickly, like relatively compared to other times. Like Apple and Samsung in court, like that was, I feel like civilizations had risen and fallen in the amount of time that case was in court. So
yeah.
So I think that's part of why this one seems so fast. And also, I don't remember Apple ever saying anything quite so pointed.
I think that's
about Samsung either.
Because obviously no one's, you know, the court cases and regulatory filings and all of that still has a long way to run. And, you know, it could take similar amounts of time as Apple versus Samsung and all of that.
Sure.
But the ramp up in language is noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
The speed with which, from, you know, I guess there was more of a mutual benefit to Apple and Samsung to coming to some kind of agreement.
Yeah.
Whereas, and you might think Epic clearly don't feel that. They, you know, they clearly think that, and Apple clearly doesn't feel that. It's a $2.3 trillion company. If Epic wants to take its ball and go home, it, you know,
yeah,
other people will, you know, people play other games on the iPhones and iPads.
Yeah.
But and also I think part of it, we were joking about the 1984 video.
Mm-hmm.
Is the way that, as I can see it as a journalist watching this stuff, the Epic PR battle has been waged is really interesting. Now, you might call it brave, you might call it stupid, you might call it arrogant, you might call it any of these things, but no one has really, with the kind of popular support, like Facebook going for Apple, everyone's just like, oh, ugh.
Yeah.
But, you know, lots of people, lots of young digitally engaged people love Epic and Fortnite, and Epic clearly feels it has kind of a lot of people on its side and can take this swing. And that's also a really interesting element to it of how the kind of PR fracas goes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I understand that maybe part of why Apple was not as pointed, did not release this sort of press equivalent of a sharpened toothbrush, you know, against Samsung is because they have other interests with Samsung, because a piece of Samsung that doesn't make mobile phones, it just, you know, manufactures parts for stuff, is also, you know, is also a company that Apple has a different business relationship with. So there may be something to it there. So I get that. I think it's interesting in a couple of ways. Like I said, you know, the tone of this as well is sort of notable at a minimum, because it also doesn't sound like press speak from any other company either, right? Like,
no.
You know, when other companies have these sorts of battles, like you don't see these kind of statements come out. So I thought that was another part of what makes this notable. It's not just Apple doesn't normally do this. It's like companies who go up against each other don't normally sound like this.
And not to sort of do the childlike he started it, she started it thing, but I do think the escalation in language in this case at the beginning was from Epic, with, like I say, the video, the initial statements, all that stuff. I mean, if you want to rile the beast,
mm-hmm.
they did and they probably did, you know, I don't know. But that seems to, as an outsider looking, that seems to be the way they were behaving. That was the way to do it. And so I think probably Apple feels in this case it has more leeway to be a bit more pointed as well.
I think so. And I think they also probably feel like they're on pretty solid ground here, right? Like Epic came into our house and played our game by our rules and was basically winning at it. And then all of a sudden decided they needed to be winning more. And that's how this all started.
And we were happy to have them there.
Yeah. And we rolled out the red carpet for them. And this is the thanks we get. You know, I feel like they feel it anyway. Like they are on pretty solid ground with that. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So we have a few minutes left. And I would like to spend a little bit of that time talking about the latest video over at the Mac Observer YouTube channel, yes. Which you can find over there on YouTube. And you've published a new one that is very specific.
Well, yeah. So,
and important.
It's such high level stuff. As you know, we've been, you know, a few of us on the Mac Observer team have been going through iOS 14.5. I am one of those people. You discussed it the other day on the show. obviously the thing that I caught my eye and played with was emoji, the new emoji.
Of course.
So there's a new video up showing what there are. There's a couple of quite interesting ones. There's a couple of new heart ones. There is options for couples now with mixed skin tones, different options there. There's a couple of, you know, some different gender options as well. And also they have changed, this is the thing that's caught most attention, is they have changed the syringe emoji.
Okay.
If you look in now on a device running 14.4 or whatever, mm-hmm. you will see it is a syringe with blood in it and a couple of spurts of blood coming out of said syringe.
Yeah.
Graphic.
It's not great.
It is what it is.
Yes.
And yeah, sorry, Kelly, I can imagine you getting a bit queasy at this. We'll go through quickly.
Yes. Okay. Let's go.
Anyway, with the rollout of, apparently the reason it was done like this is because the most context that people use that emoji in was when they were doing blood donations.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously now the context people are using that has changed, and it is often used in conversations about COVID-19 vaccines.
Yes.
And so the syringe is now empty, and
okay,
it's all trying to be part of that, a responsible part of that conversation, I think.
Cool. I like it. I think, yeah, I know that one of the things that tends to happen with iOS updates in particular is that's sort of the spoonful of sugar. Like, we're going to give you a bunch of security fixes, right, but now you get the taco emoji, so you better go update. That sort of thing is usually what entices people to go download. so hopefully some of the new emoji will help with that. We'll have to see. I'm sure in whatever the next event is we get with Apple, whether it's just another earnings call or we do get an event next month, like some people like Kelly are hoping will happen, then maybe they'll make mention of like what the download numbers look like on a new version of the operating system. We still don't have a release date on 14.5.
No, we're only at the developer beta 2 stage, so we're still a chunk of time away.
But it has been reasonably solid for most people, so we may get it sooner than later. I mean, we may not have to wait for developer beta 5 or 6 or anything like that, so.
No, maybe not. There's some new faces in there as well. They're nice. Check out the video anyway. They're all in there.
Okay. I will go watch the video. Charlotte, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Glad you're here. And you can always get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.